Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In our epistle text for today, the Lord draws a distinction between the believer and the unbeliever. Right? Between the believer and the unbeliever. Now, how does Paul describe the believer? He describes the believer as one of the brethren. What does that mean? It's shorthand. It's Bible shorthand, and it means that a Christian has been brought into fellowship with Jesus Christ, fellowship with God the Father through Jesus Christ, and fellowship with other Christian believers who are also in fellowship with Jesus Christ. And so we are called brethren. That is, we have been made members of the spiritual family of God through Jesus Christ. Right? That's one way that believers are described in this text. The other way that believers are described in this text is when in verse 8 it says of God, He has given us His Holy Spirit. All right? So that a Christian believer, that is somebody who is baptized and continues in the faith that was instilled in them in baptism. So they are baptized and believing Christians. They have been given the Holy Spirit. They have been given the Holy Spirit. Now, what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit enlightens us so that we understand and believe. All right, that's number one. And number two, the Holy Spirit begets us anew. He regenerates us. He makes new creatures of us so that we have new motions, new desires in our hearts implanted in us by the Holy Ghost. Before, we didn't care about God. We didn't care about the will of God, and we didn't seek to love or do it. But now, having been enlightened and having been reborn by the Spirit of God, we now desire the will of God. We desire to hear the will of God. We desire to do the will of God. What else? The Bible says here in verse 7 of Christians, He says, God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. So a Christian is one who has the call of God upon them. You say, Pastor, I never heard God calling me. What do you think the gospel is? What do you think the preaching of the gospel is? The preaching of the good news. That is the call of God upon you. Every time you hear the gospel, God is calling you to Himself. You say, where do you get that from? Catechism. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, and sanctified, that's made me holy, and kept me in the true faith. You see that? That's the work of the Holy Ghost. So, a Christian is a person who, through word and sacrament, has entered into fellowship with Jesus Christ and with other Christians, is one who has received the Holy Ghost with his gifts and graces, is one who has the call of God on their heart. All right? Now, since this is the truth about every believer in Christ, what is the truth? What is the truth about the unbeliever? Well, look at what it says here in verse 5. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Right? So what we learn here, first of all, is that the Gentiles do not know God. Who are the Gentiles? What is that word, Gentiles? It means an unbeliever. It means all of your friends, family, and neighbors who do not care about God and Jesus. They are Gentiles. The word Gentile is another word for heathen. It's another word for unbeliever. Another word for pagan. All right? And it says of the Gentiles, they know not God. They are not like Christians in this. They have no idea about God. They do not know God. They do not have a relationship of grace with God. They are separated from God, without God and without hope in the world. What do we know also about them? They despise God's word. When they hear preaching and the word of God, they are either indifferent to it or antagonistic to it. Both are despisement, by the way. To despise something, you know, we because we haven't used our dictionaries the way we ought to, we often have a shallow understanding of words. To despise something, we think it means to hate something. That's not what despise means. To despise something means to consider something unworthy of your time and attention. If you think that something is not worth your time and attention, you are despising it. Even if you are so ever so polite, if you think something's not worth your time, you are despising it. Especially if it is something that's worth your time and attention. So it says, he that despiseth not man, but God. All right. So that's in verse 8, by the way, which is one verse further than your text goes. But so that's the second thing that we know about the unbeliever. So we got a world of believers and unbelievers, right? Christian believers and unbelievers. The Christian believer used to be a Gentile, used to be an unbeliever, but has been washed from their sins, accepted into the family of God, given the Holy Spirit by a gift of grace, and called into the good graces of the Lord. And all of this is a free gift. Now, how should we then conduct ourselves? And that's chiefly what this paragraph is about. What does it mean to live like a Christian in the world surrounded by unbelievers? Now, old Paul here is going to talk about fornication. And he's not going to talk about it because there were people in the congregation guilty of it. He's going to talk about it because the Thessalonian Christians lived in a cosmopolitan city, Thessalonica. It was the capital of Macedonia. And every kind of perversion and sexual immorality was practiced by the Macedonians in Thessalonica. So the little flock of Christians trying to live like believers in the world were surrounded by every conceivable form of perversion and sin. Kind of like us today. Alright? And so he says to them, "We beseech you, brethren, and we exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as you have received from us, from the apostles, how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more." In other words, Paul is saying to the Thessalonians, please, please be more and more faithful to the word of God concerning your conduct in this world. That's what he's saying. Please be more abounding in God-pleasing behavior while you live in this sinful world. And then in verse 2 he says, "For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, commandments in this verse means all the teachings of the Christian faith. You guys have been instructed in the Christian faith. There's no excuse for you to be ignorant and foolish. And therefore, you know, because you have been given to know by the Lord Jesus Christ, the revealed will and word of God. And then to underscore the point in verse 3, to underscore the point, he says this: "This is the will of God, even your sanctification." What is sanctification? It means your holy living in response to God's grace. You have been brought into the family of God. You have been set apart as God's own possession. Now, there is a will of God for your life that you are to follow and not to break it. And what is that? What is this will of God that involves our sanctification? "That ye should abstain from fornication." You should abstain from fornication. All right. What is fornication? Let's be delicate here. All right. When people who are not properly married before God do things together that only married people should do, that's fornication. Alright? That's as delicate as I can put it. Alright? That's as delicate as I can put it. So God has given us the gift of human sexuality. And this gift is only to be used. Listen to me. I know this is the 21st century and everybody thinks this is silly. But on Judgment Day, it won't be silly to all those people whose jaws have dropped down to their navels. All right? Listen to me. All right? Human sexual activity is only to be engaged in within the confines of a lawful, proper marriage. And any sexual activity outside of a proper, lawful marriage is not only sin, but a mortal sin. All right? Not only is it a sin, but it's a mortal sin, a deadly sin. Why? because it drives the Holy Spirit out of your heart. When you give yourself over to fornication, the Holy Ghost departs from you, and you are as if you'd never been baptized, and you continue under the wrath of God until you come to repentance. Now, these are hard words, especially in our modern age, because, you know, our modern age thinks that fornication is great. You know, it sells, so it's good for the business community, and it's fun, so everybody loves to do it. Listen, what is a proper marriage? A proper marriage is when a man and a woman, not Adam and Steve, but Adam and Eve, when a man and a woman enter into a formal, lifelong relationship where they become, where the two become one flesh. That's a marriage. A marriage is not when Jared and Buffy decide that they're going to move in together and live together as if they were husbands and wife, when in fact they are not husband and wife. That is fornication and a grievous sin. And that little cute couple lives under the sword of Damocles waiting to fall upon them until they come to repentance for their wickedness and their disobedience to God's word. Now, Paul is not saying that anybody in the Thessalonian congregation was doing this, but he's saying, you know, your neighbors all around you are doing these kinds of things. Don't be fooled into thinking that there's nothing wrong with it. All right? Remember that your unbelieving neighbors do not know God. They have no knowledge of God. So it shouldn't surprise you when they fornicate like bunny rabbits. But you are not to do these things. You are to live in accordance with the will of God and not allow yourself to rob yourself of the gift of the Holy Ghost and the saving grace of God in Christ by resisting and despising God's word and living in sin like a heathen when you profess to be a Christian. So what he's saying here about fornication is a very important message for you and me. Not that I think any of you are going to be running out and fornicating. At least I hope not. All right. But it's important for us because we live in a fornicative culture. We live in a culture where this is happening all the time. And we are constantly being tempted, because we live in this world, we are constantly being tempted to go along in order to get along. You know, we gotta approve of things the way the world does so we don't look like jerks. Right? That's our big temptation. I don't want to look like a fool. I don't want to look like a jerk. I don't want to look like a nut. So when all these people are engaging in this activity which God's word condemns, I'm just gonna smile and I'm going to acquiesce to it and I'm going to be approving of it. Because you see, when you approve of somebody else's sin, you become a partaker of it. Right? When you give approval to anyone who is sinning, when you say it's okay that you're doing that, it's no big deal, when you do that, you become guilty of their sin right along with them. So Paul doesn't want you to share in other people's guilt. He wants all of us to remain faithful to the Lord. Listen to what Paul says in another place. He says, flee fornication. Flee fornication. And he says this. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind.
Homosexuals.
All right? Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Don't kid yourself. God takes these things very seriously. And no one who practices these things and continues in them, impenitent and unrepentant, will ever see heaven. All right? And then he says this. He says, and such were some of you, but you are washed. You are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. You see that? He said, you guys used to be all of these nasty things before you came to the Lord Jesus. But now you have been washed and sanctified and justified. Now you are a new creature in Christ. Now you are among the children of God. Now you have God's call of grace upon your life. Now you are one who has received the Holy Ghost, who has given you new motivations and new desires to do the will of God and to live holy lives while you're in this world. You used to be lost, but now you have been found. Therefore, in the light of this, live according to the gracious will of God. All right? And in today's text, one of the things that that means is that we will do the will of God by abstaining from fornication. And that means we will not fornicate in all of its various little ways. And it also means we will not give approval to others who do so. Not that God has set you up as everybody else's policeman. Don't get me wrong. Right? You know how some Christians go nuts with that. And they decide that they are like the sheriff, God's little sheriff, whose job it is to butt themselves into other people's lives. Right? I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, you know how it is. Somebody that we love starts to do something wrong. And we want to maintain good relationships with them, so we keep our mouths shut and we allow them to think that we approve of what they're doing. And as a result, we share in their sinfulness. Right? There is a time to rebuke. There is a time to lay down the law. And there's also a time to keep your mouth shut and wait. You know, sometimes people begin to fall into sin. They wake up and they repent, and thank goodness. And you get to say, thank you, Lord. Right? Don't participate in other people's sins, and don't kid yourself into thinking that these are not a serious matter with God. All right? Live as a child of God. Live a God-pleasing life. Why? Because you are a child of God. You have received the Holy Ghost. You have been called by God into His kingdom. And you are now enlightened and sanctified by the Spirit. And you continue to be this. So live it out in your life. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.